Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life presents our Wednesday show. Today we're talking about unveiling the truth, why fact checking is so essential in this world, and how so many things turn into conspiracy theories, or so many things are running as fact, even though they're opinion, and how we're becoming desensitized to the world around us and just accepting everything around us. As a fact, and running with it and spreading it, even though there's no merit to it. And we talked about this show this morning, and we're continuing on, and it's ironic as we're talking about this, as I was doing a little bit of research, I had to open Google. First page of Google, Trump calls to defund law enforcement. Trump calls for GOP to defund Department of Justice, FBI. Trump wants to defund FBI, DOJ. Trump urges defunding of Justice Department in wake. Out of these top headlines, which one's accurate? Which one's true? So all these stories, or all this, is all about one little rant that Trump did and said on a social media site called Truth social.com. And I went and looked it up. So the actual rant that Trump said was Republicans in Congress should defund the DOJ and FBI until they come to their senses. The Democrats have fully weaponized law enforcement in our country and are viciously using the abuse of power to interfere with our already under siege elections. From that little statement came up how many pages of comments that Trump supposedly said. And not one of these articles, not one, actually mentions that Trump said that until they come to their senses. So if you actually read between the lines, for the most part, Trump's just saying, let's investigate our justice system. Let's figure out what's going on. But just from opening up my Google site or a Google search engine, Google front page, that's everything that came up. Because it's breaking news and everybody's talking about it. That is why it is so crucial to fact check and look at the source. The one good thing is with all these sources, well, one of these sources says that Donald Trump wrote on Truth Social. So one source actually chopped up the headline but gave you the actual source to go find the truth. And this is why we emphasize so much about looking up truth, understanding what the truth means. and where to go with the truth.
Mary, one little quick cliff note while I was listening to you speak. Sounds like not only do we have to do our own due diligence and our own research and see what they're saying, sounds like we also have to flip it over and ask those Google sources, those YouTube sources, those informational sources, show me what they're not saying. Show us what they're not telling us. Tell us what they don't want us to know. And then you'll get a whole nother perspective, a different perspective, I say, in a way that you may not look at it right away. Because, you know, old school, they used to tell us, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you read. So, you know, if you don't do your own due diligence, do your own research, they said if you don't believe in something that you will fall for anything. So we owe it to ourselves, since life is nothing but a series of choices that we make, that we have to do our own research on whether it's good or bad. Is it hot or is it cold? Is it healthy or not healthy? What are they putting in there? What are they not putting in there? Same thing. We need to know both sides of the story. Then that way one can use their own discernment, their own spiritual scanner, to decide on whether they want to believe in it or not believe in it. Because in bottom line faith, and I'll stop right here, Mary, it says one must, not maybe, believe. You heard me just now say, if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. But nowadays, you cannot believe in everything you hear. You can't believe in everything you read. And you can't believe in everything somebody says. Stop right there, Mary.
You know, and the hardest thing is right now is that we're not teaching our kids fact and fiction. Opinion. In fact, our kids live in this world of social media and influencers. You know, I remember back when I was a kid, we'd get newspapers every day. And, you know, our parents would sit and read the newspapers. I always looked at the comics. And then I hit the sports section, but I didn't care about world events then. But I really still don't. But they always looked at, you know, more than one source, and they looked at the news. They would read the newspaper. They'd watch local news. A lot of times they'd flip between stations of different news stations to get the same story, and I could never figure out why. And, you know, my grandma would always tell me, so we know what's really going on and what isn't. What's true and what's not true.
You know, Mary, God gave us a mind to be able to understand things and be able to decipher between what was right and what was wrong. And he also gave us the ability to make decisions on things. And I think that what we really need to do is to determine how it is that when someone's saying something, does that really make sense, or is that really a right answer to a question, or is that really a fact versus a fiction? So it takes a lot of very critical thinking to really decipher between what's correct and what's wrong. But after a lot of practice, a person can develop that skill to discern between something that's really not a fact and something that is a fact. And listening to God and the truth that He's given us really helps us in that area and helps us to figure out right from wrong and good from bad and so forth. So I've always told my kids, don't always believe what you hear, and don't always believe what you read, and don't always believe what you see on television or in the movies or wherever you see something or in magazines. Don't always believe it, because it can be just as much wrong as it could have been right. So, and develop the ability to determine the difference between each one of them, and always choose the right way. Choose the right one. Choose the one that God tells you to. This is what's right, you know?
And you're completely right. And go ahead, Country.
I'm sorry. Sometimes, now, here's how it gets tricky sometimes. They said, sometimes, most of the time, a lot of times, it's not what one says, it's how they say it. I can say, I love you. I can say, I love you. I can say, I love you. It's the same words, but it has a different connotation based on who's saying it and how they're saying it. Now, here comes another twist. Not only is it what some people say and how they say it, I have been considered a fraud because of my knowledge level, my intelligence level, my brilliance, my genius, my understanding, and my overstanding. Sometimes I talk to people and they go, I don't believe nothing he says. Why? It sounds too good to be true. What in the world does that mean? Now, somebody told me that one day. It sounds too good when God said it was good, so it was good, and it was good, not necessarily in that order. Sounds too good to be true. So my thought was, okay, if I tell you a lie, will you believe me then? If I just now told you the truth and you don't believe it, whether it be my tone of voice or what have you, if I tell you the truth and you don't believe me, if I tell you a lie, will you believe me? If I tell you too much information and overwhelm you and make it sound like I'm a pro, I'm an expert on the conversation at hand and really don't know anything, I just tell you what I read and what I memorized. I know some Christian people, we won't talk about them, that memorize the Bible. They can read scripture for scripture, tell you what book is in, what verse it is, and say it out loud like they mean it, and don't do what they just said. Last one, old school fool. I'm an old school fool. I remember, old man, when good used to mean it was good. And then what's that guy's name? Michael Jackson? Oh, they said, he's bad. I'm thinking, is he bad? Oh, you mean he's bad, but you really mean he's good. So if you tell me Country Boy's doing a lot of good things, does that mean I'm bad or doing bad things because I'm good or good because I'm bad? You can put good words into a bad person's mouth and they still come out bad. You can put bad words into a good person's mouth and they still come out good. Now, who am I supposed to believe? I'm confused. No, I'm not confused. You're confused. We don't serve a God of confusers. I'm not confused. But the things that we're going through right now, certain things don't make no sense. Last one, Mary. My grandmother says, baby, anytime you can explain things to people and it makes sense to them, it's usually man-made stuff. But try to explain a miracle to somebody. It ain't gonna make no sense. It's probably not even factual. It may not even be documented that the devil's beating his wife around the stump when it's raining and there's a rainbow out and the sun and the wind's blowing. Who knows? I'm gonna stop, Mary. I'm getting carried away.
Country, can we still...
Because what is and what is. What is and what isn't. Wait. One more. There's something on TV. They call them reality shows.
They couldn't be more no farther from the truth.
I had a bet going on. I got triple team, quadruple team by my brothers and cousins back during the holiday, and we was talking about reality. I told them, if you blink right now, blink right now, 10 seconds later, you can't even prove to me that you blink. You have no documentation that you just took your last breath. So 30 seconds later, the reality that you thought was reality is not even existing no more. So how can I believe in reality when what I see just is not really there? And the crazy thing is visionarians have the power to see into the future and have to wake up to reality.
Hey, country, should we ask Bob the question we talked about this morning, which came first?
Yeah, we're going to put this on national airways because for 50 years they've been telling the joke, but nobody ever had the answer to the riddle until I talked to Mary today. Drop it on it, Mary. Drop it real easy because you don't want it to break.
So, Bob, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
You know, the I think that asking questions of people is very important, especially when they make some statements that don't sound quite right. Just start asking questions about, well, where did you hear that, or where did you read that? What's your source? And did you check out that source?
So Mary is asking you a question now, Bob. What you read it at? This is a question that's been going on for longer than I've been living, I know. Which came first? Here's the question, Oakman. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Two-part question. Did you research it to find out whether what they told you was actually the truth or was it just a fact? Which came first, Oakman? The chicken or the egg?
Rumors and gossips really get into the bringing out things that aren't true. And it's just somebody's opinion of someone else or somebody's opinion of something that happened. You know, the policeman will tell you that if you interview three people that have seen an accident, you're going to get three different answers on how that happened and why it happened and what was the circumstance and so forth. We have to be really careful in accepting things that people just say and like it's fact, and it's not really fact. It's really
but that's a prime example of what we're talking about. So that's a live operating question. Most people, if you ask 100 people, 50 people will give you this answer, and 50 people will give you the other side of the answer. Which one is telling the truth, Oakman? Which came first? In your opinion, that's what it is. It's an opinion. It's not a document. It's not fact. We don't really know whether it's true or not until we do our due diligence and research it. Which came first, Oakman, the chicken or the egg? There's no right or wrong answer. There's no right or wrong answer. Yeah, there's good and bad. There's hot and cold, and there's warm.
Country, I think God made the chicken first. that's why I always say the chicken came first. But anyway, yeah, that's a good question. Which came first?
Mary, are you still there, sweetie?
I am. So
Mary didn't just answer the question. She didn't just give me her opinion on why she thought it came one way or the other. She showed me a document. What was that document you showed me? Oh, I think it was called the Bible.
It wasn't even me. It was my daughter showing it to me in the Bible.
I didn't say Webster Dictionary. I said the Bible. The Biblical Instruction Before Leaving Earth Manual that tells you what came first, the chicken or the egg. Which came first, Mary, the chicken or the egg, Mary?
The chicken, because God made the animals in the air and on the land and in the sea. And they roamed the earth.
You mean he made You mean he made birds of the air and foul? I think we're not. No, I'm not talking about basketball foul. I'm talking about chickens. Birds. They fly, some don't fly. Chickens can fly just for a little while, and then they have to dress down again. We're talking foul. It says in the word, Mary pointed out to me, factual / truth. It was documented that it is a fact that he created the heavens, the earth, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He didn't say nothing about I created an egg and had to wait for the chicken to come alive. but who knows? But nobody ever knew that real. I never, oh, man, until Mary enlightened me and showed me what her reference source was, I've been laughing about that joke the 40, 50, 60 years of my life and really not knowing truthfully what the answer was. So when I gave somebody my opinion, as educated as I am, it was just an opinion. That's all. That's all it was, an opinion. But now I can show you where it's written at. I got proof to back it up that it's the truth.
You're breaking up, Gundry. But, you know, and that's the point is that we're trying to make today is the fact that just because it was written in this text, as new information comes along, we learn more things. And that's why we talk about science as a theory as opposed to a fact, because it's what we know at that time. And everything is shaped based in the eye of the beholder. It's the same thing like Bob was talking about earlier. You know, five people can see a car accident, see the exact same car accident. But depending on the witnesses, depending on their viewpoint, their expectations in life, their what they've gone through in life will determine. And also, you know, what they see in the media and everything else will determine prejudices and will determine what they see. You know, you can have the witness be black, white, purple, depending on your viewpoint and what you believe. Color of the car can be five different colors, even though it's...
Oh, Mary, you remember the one we talked about this morning? I said, I believed in one of them theories because of the history books told us that we evolutionized from an ape. They wrote it down and put it in the history book. It was a theory. The evolution. Oh, I got another one. The Big Boom Theory. A star struck a meteor and bam, here we are.
You know, and the funny thing is, like the Big Bang Theory and all these things, if you actually go through the Bible and look at events in the Bible, such as the Great Flood, such as there's different events. I can't think of them all, but they have actually
Christmas.
Egyptians
Christmas.
Well, the thing is that they've been able to through time, through Egyptians and others, they've been able to track astronomical anomalies that correspond with the events in the Bible.
Yep, that's right. And it's been studied by every religion and every expert and scientists and all different, even atheists have studied the Bible. And after they've studied it, some of them have converted because they found out things that they didn't know. So, yeah, I think the fact that the Bible talks in truth, I think is very important. And when someone says something to me, well, I don't believe in God because I've never heard of anyone that's seen him. I've never seen him. I said, well, do you believe in gravity? And he says, yeah. I said, well, have you ever seen it? No, I haven't seen it. Well, God's the same way. We may not have seen him, but people before us saw him, saw Jesus Christ. he lived with them. So it's interesting the way people will try to get people to believe what they believe, you know, which may be a falsehood, and they believe it anyway, you know.
True. You know, it's like that, we talk
now,
about. Go ahead.
Mary, I've read a lot of different types of things and researched a lot of things. The only thing that I've read about that it really doesn't exist, you can't measure it, it has no volume, it has no weight, it's called darkness. One of the only things that we humans can relate to is something called darkness. But if you read all research about darkness, doesn't exist. But it does. It does and it doesn't. Just like Oakman, just like you pointed out, gravity exists. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it exists. But just because you see things, faces and stuff, the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So seeing is believing. No, it's not. Seeing is knowing. If you're standing in the highway and you believe that you hear a car coming. But if you stand there long enough, you'll see it's an 18-wheeler. So it's not a car. It's a truck. So seeing is not believing. Seeing is knowing. But we've been taught that seeing is believing until you become a Christian person, and then they teach you about faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. What is evidence of things not seen? How can you have evidence of things that you can't see? It's called air. It's called gravity. But do you believe that it exists? Life is nothing but a series of choices that one has to make. Do you believe or not believe? There's some, excuse my friends, there's some so-called Christians that's been sitting in what they call a church and reading that book that they call a Bible. If it came right down to it and the truth was really, really, really told, they don't believe that he rose again. They don't believe that he can calm a raging sea. They don't believe that in the blink of an eye he can take your situation to another situation. So either you believe or you don't believe. Either you research or you don't research. Either you'll believe in something or you'll just fall for anything. Stop right there, Mary.
Amen.
You know, when you look back, and it's pretty hard now because a lot of the people have passed away, but I always think back to, you know, like Bob brought up, not seeing God. Well, there's been plenty of reports of seeing Mary or hearing voices in absence of God, that they speak for him. And a good example of that, that has been covered and reviewed by churches, by media outlets, and thousands of witnesses, was what we had happen in Fatima. In the early 1900s.
Don't get me to drop one of my quick jokes on you. One of my mentors, Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen always opens up his sermons with a joke. And he said one Sunday that they was getting ready to start worship service, and all of a sudden he looked up, and everybody was running out. And they was thinking, what's going on? What's going on? They said, the devil is in here. The devil's in here in the church? He has the audacity to come up in the church? Yeah, they said, the devil's in here. We got to get out of here. Even though, so everybody ran, but nobody saw the devil, but they knew he was there, except this one little old elderly lady. It was sitting on the front pew in the church. And the devil comes over to her and says, do you not know who I am? She says, of course I know who you are. He says, you're not afraid of me? She said, no, I'm not afraid of you. He says, why? He said, I've been married to your brother for 50 years.
But the thing is, and what, you know, we've talked about a lot this morning was, with technology increasing, look at pictures. and look at other things, it is so hard to discern which is fact, which is fiction, which opinion, what's just made up. And this is where research and diligence, and the sad part is, you know, we take it for granted because we were taught how to and raised to use our imaginations and how to understand make-believe from real. But what they are finding out is these generations now are so attached to social media, so attached to electronic devices, that they're not developing that imagination in life. And that imagination is what teaches you reality from fact. It teaches you problem-solving skills. It also teaches you critical thinking. You know, we used to always, you know, for a while there, they worried about kids who had imaginary friends as being bad because there was something wrong. And the fact is these kids learn what is real and what's not real. And it helped them do the thinking process and understand what's going on around them and explaining things. And it's so crucial to make sure your kids unplug and you unplug and continue doing critical thinking, playing games, doing imagination things, just having that creative flow to help you understand and go back to that thought process that we took for granted years ago.
But Mary, I can't even think, I don't want to keep bringing up the devil because I hardly ever talk about him, but I guess there's a place for him now in this conversation. I still remember, I don't remember exactly how old I was before I figured out the devil wasn't some little red-looking guy with horns and a pencil. That's what I'm talking about. When we're talking about the devil, what does the devil look like? They painted a picture and showed me that he was a little red-faced-looking guy with horns that came out of his head, and he always had a pencil. That's what adults will believe in, that the devil runs around looking like this, and did you research it? So I'm just saying, too, Mary, there are certain things that we've been taught that couldn't be so far from the truth, and there are certain things that we thought was truth that's actually a lie. And how does one discern? You must have a head-on collision with the one that you believe in. Whoever you say you pray to, whoever you say you believe, you know, trust in, that's the one you have these kind of questions for, because the God that I serve says he works in mysterious, another kind of weird word to use, mysterious ways. That his ways is not our ways, and we may not even understand. The biggest question in the world right now for a lot of people is how much sin can I get away with and still get saved? Research it. How much sin can I get away with and still get saved? Ask Mercy and Grace, they'll tell you.
And you know, as you're talking about this, you know, it brings me to the scams and how many people fall for the scams and lose millions of dollars. Because they're taking everything at face value and not actually doing the research. And I fell for it once.
What are you talking about now, Lotto?
Well, no.
But if you look at the research, Mary, on your odds and winning, and I've had a guy that stand in front of me just a few minutes ago before I left out of town, it's been $300 on scratch off, like he's gambling or something. I mean, that's a person's choice, but I was also reading some research that says most people in America, over 50% of the people in America, are $400 to $600 away from being homeless.
Yep.
No, that don't make no sense to me. I'm just talking about the facts. But how is it fair? Who told you life was fair? The innocent ones get hurt, and the ones that don't even believe are okay. We still have to be able, I don't know how else to, Mary, I asked you this morning, because again, I told you you got to have a head-on collision to have special powers called discernment. Mary, what was the definition? What was the, how did you say discern? Did you describe to me what discern means to a lot of people? Because a lot of people may not understand what we're talking about. It's kind of like a spiritual scanner, like a radar detector that goes off when danger is near. Or you, but proceed with caution. What is discerning spirit, Mary? What is that?
It's having the red flag up, being able to question things that aren't quite right. Now, looking at, you know, a website, does it have misspellings in it? Does it have, you know, many different fonts? You know, does it grab your attention? You know, a lot of those are fake news outlets taken from different sources and combined together to make one. You know, discernment just means that you have that critical thinking to be able to look at something and say, you know what, something's not quite right in my gut. And taking your gut feelings and doing the research. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of our seniors are getting scammed because people are lazy and don't want to work and looking for a quick buck, and they're calling, building these companies saying they're the IRS. And you owe the IRS all this money. And you just willingly hand over, you know, your credit cards. Even though we all know the IRS will never call you, you'll get a letter. You have to call them.
Yep, yep.
And that's what
so,
we're talking
again,
about
Mary,
this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we have to also escape. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father, because they know not. We're in a new generation now. That was Old Testament kind of stuff now. Of not knowing nowadays is a choice that one makes. If you say you don't know, you don't really want to know. One of my other questions is when I was reading that little book called The Bible, it was somebody that had been sitting around for 30-something years and waiting, wasn't practicing patience. It just kind of had given up on things. And the question was proposed, do you want to know? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be helped? That's what we was asking over here at the Hope Foundation. We said we have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. I don't know if you can get any clearer than that. We have every intention. Ron Clayton loved that word, intentional. We have every intention on blessing you. If you don't believe it, research us. We have a proven track record, not Nike, just do it. We've been there, done that. Lynn Cain, whoo, Lynn Cain, Golden Rule Society, 50 years old, a non-for-profit organization that has a proven track record that we can bless you with no hidden agenda. We can say nice things to you without looking for something in return. You mean I can smile? And the world will smile back at me, and it didn't cost me anything. These are certain things we know, but when Mary says certain things you have to let your gut tell you, that when your gut has its own mind and its own heart, so does your head, and your heart can make its decision without even consulting with your gut or your mind. But when it comes right down to it, that discernment that Mary and I was talking about just now is if something doesn't look right, doesn't sound right, doesn't smell right, and your spirit might whisper, something just ain't right. You may not even know what it is. That's a spiritual consciousness that's trying to discern you to beware, proceed with caution. That's what we're talking about, you guys, but we're just saying opinions or opinion. Facts has to be done by somebody, witnessed by another person, and then documented. That's three people. It has to be done, has to be witnessed, and has to be documented by a third person But when we're operating out of the spirit of the truth, your spirit will tell you that always speaks first. Your heart will tell you it's a spiritually driven thing. Your stomach will tell you it's a spiritually driven thing. Now, when your brain kicks in, that's when you need to do some research, because it ain't always what you think. And closing, Mary, my uncle used to always say, we're not born with a spirit of fear, but be careful of those things that are just what they're supposed to be. Caution.
And that is, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted to give an example of how I approach something that someone has recommended to me. I do a lot of investments in stocks and so forth, but I pay for probably six different companies that I pay for research, that they give me recommendations in their research. Well, I don't necessarily take those recommendations and right away jump in and make investments in their recommendations. I do my own due diligence and research on top of what they have done, because there's a lot of things that that they don't look at, and a lot of things that maybe are more important, like who's managing the company. Are they a progressive manager, or are they investing, making good investments of their own in their company? And what's their profitability? Are they, you know, different kinds of things like that. And so I think it's important that we do that. And I've tried to set that example for my children all my life that I've had children. And to not necessarily listen. If a person is an expert in a certain field, doesn't necessarily mean what they're saying is true. It may be based on something hearsay that they've heard, or some hypotheses that they have, or something like that. I think it's very important that we do our own research on things that people tell us, and don't necessarily take it with a grain of salt that what they say is true, because it's probably 50% or more it's not true, or maybe it's only partially true. So I think that's a very important area that we all need to do a lot of checking. You mentioned, Mary, fact checking all the facts, and get to the source of where the facts came from or where the information came from, and then go from there. Does that make sense?
It does.
One more for me. I heard Michael Jackson singing again. There's good and bad in every one. Fact. Truth. There's good in everything under the heavens. Look at it from the right perspective. Or bees. Or find out. I researched bees. One of my worst enemies when I go into my creative zone and go into the woods is I hate yellow jackets. We got a bunch of them down here. And if they're in the woods, I can find them. But then I research them. And I find
them. Yep. You're cutting out, Country.
I'm
here.
We're losing you.
Yeah, we're losing you. Oh, you're driving?
You need to sit still for 5 minutes. Welcome to the world of Country. You know, it's like the joke that I was talking to Ron about the other day. I go, I speak a new language. I now speak Country. I can translate some of the stuff he says when he's breaking up.
Yeah.
But this is where it's so crucial to use that critical thinking. And the reason we're talking about this today is it's going to go into the next, our next Wednesday story. And next Wednesday, we're going to talk about our children in this identity crisis, or what we call an identity crisis. You know, we're not going to go into opinions and, you know, this transgender, this and this and this. We're going to talk about the facts. We're going to talk about how we are not teaching our kids who they are, so they can't figure out what they are.
Yeah. They're very gullible at a young age, and we have to be very careful with how we approach that with them.
Yeah. It's not even that they're gullible. I mean, how can you be gullible when you're not even taught? So many families are teaching their kids gender neutral. So they're not even learning what a boy and a girl is. I'm not joking.
Oh, that's so wrong, I think.
I completely agree with you. You know, I got chewed out in the grocery store one day or the dollar store. My kids go in. My little girl goes and picks out a Barbie. My little boy picks out dinosaurs and slime. And the lady chewed me out. I snapped at her. I go, what's it to you? One, it's my kids. But two, that's what they like. I'm sorry, but I don't care. It's a dollar. If she wants a truck, she can buy a truck. If he wants a doll, he can buy a doll. I don't care. It's a dollar.
Yep.
They pick out toys they like. That's all I care about. You know, but we're not teaching that. But the thing is now we're rushing to judgment, and we're not giving the due diligence that we need by letting them go and talk to people, the correct people, and actually doing their time and the research to figure out what we're doing to our kids, and then we're doing it permanently. We're going to learn about what all these hormones that they're not supposed to have in their bodies, or the amounts that they're given shouldn't be in their bodies, what it does to them, and the permanent side effects it will have.
Yep.
And we're doing it at a very young age, so a lot of these kids are never hitting puberty. And then they go ahead.
And mutilating their bodies also when they're at a very young age. And that's so wrong. It is so absolutely wrong.
Which brings me into my next point.
Yep.
It's okay for our doctors to do it to a kid because our parents say it's okay. But yet, and I don't agree with this, so don't misconstrue this, but we have band together as a world nations and said that, you know, some ethnic backgrounds that do this on purpose, that's unethical, that's wrong.
Yep.
And we're not even looking at the side effects that these kids can have. Increased cancer, you know, permanent colostomy bags, because they've just screwed up their whole body and they can't fix it. And we're not waiting till they're old enough for them to make their own decisions just because they're on a whim. And we have learned that one thing about the United States and American society in whole is we like to take things to extreme. And I'm not trashing our country. I fought for our country. I believe in our country. But as a society, we have learned, and what we do is we take things to extremes a lot compared to other nations.
Yep.
Our politicians don't speak for what's right and wrong. Our politicians speak for whatever pays them the highest wage.
That's right. Absolutely. Doesn't matter whether they're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, or whatever. They're not looking out for most of them are not looking out for we the people. They're looking out for what they can get out of it. Can they get reelected? Can they get grants from different organizations? Can they receive donations from different people? Those are the kinds of things that they're looking for. And I'm not saying it's all of them. It's just a large percentage of them now. Today, or that is their motivation, is to see what they can get from it.
You know, it's the same thing with pharmaceuticals. You know, when
yep.
I started researching this story, this idea and the story, about, you know, hormone pills and what it does and side effects. You know, it took me 4 pages of Google just to find some of the side effects to figure out what really goes on in the human body. And 90% of all that, they turn around and it says that there's not enough studies done. There's not enough. This hasn't been going on long enough for them to know exactly.
Right.
So they'd rather err on caution and not say anything than they would to actually look at the side effects. And we're not even talking about the chemistry of the brain, which coming up in, we're in April, in May, I'll have the honor and the privilege of Dr. Dubin, a world-renowned neurosurgeon, author, and brain scientist, will be on the show on a few different episodes of our show to talk about the brain and the wiring and different issues such as autism and how to understand how our brain operates and why when we put all this stuff in our bodies that doesn't belong there, how it affects. And this is the big, you know, thing with depression. If you actually Google and research the actual studies of what causes depression, are you going to find them? Nope, they don't exist.
Is it? Yeah, and there's so many variables in the human body and how different things can cause different things to happen with our bodies. That it's very difficult. I was talking with my one son, who is a medical doctor. He's been a medical doctor for about 20 years now, and I was telling him when someone comes to you with an illness, how sure are you when you give them a diagnosis as to what it is that's causing this? And he says, Dad. He says, I'll be honest with you. He said, 50% of the time, doctors are guessing because there's so many variables in different illnesses and different reactions of the body to illnesses. He said, it's at best 50%, 50-50 when we're figuring out to diagnose for somebody. And so that's another case where some doctors say, this is what it is, and this is what you got to do. You got to take these medications for the rest of your life. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's just their opinion also, even though they are specialists, and they are they've probably had many cases that they've dealt with over the years, but every body is, we have the same basic functions in our body and the same ways of God has made us pretty much the same way. But the reactions to different things cause different things in different people, and so you have to be very careful with that too. I try not to take any medications because I'm a naturalist. I believe in natural healing. So, even that, you got to be very, very careful in who you listen to and what you need to redo your research.
Correct, because a lot of supplements
can't mix.
A lot of medications and supplements can't mix. And we talk a lot about that in our morning shows, that you have to be very careful and research what you take, when you take it, and how you take it. You know, how many years was it that we found out that people were getting sick because they were taking a medication with grapefruit juice, and that the acid in the juice was counteracting the meds? You know, it's like they found out that, you know, you have more serotonin levels in your gut than you do in your brain.
And then, Mary, can you hear me again, Mary?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Stop
and
moving.
We were still talking. We were talking about the different things. I have 6-8 new veterans. Friends here in Atlanta, because we're doing a lot of work with the veterans, following Joel's mission, his vision. But 6 out of those 8 veterans, when I met them, were on something called OxyContin. Y'all know the story. Has 20 different side effects. But I took my brother he's my first cousin. I call him my brother. We was raised in the same house. To his neurologist a week ago, and of course I was making jokes about it, but being very serious. Then when we walked into his office and looked at the plaque on his wall, it said practicing, not professional. It said practicing medicine. So as I sit there when he was interviewing my brother, he asked him, well, how you doing? He says, oh, I'm doing great. Well, how are those meds working out for you? Oh, great. He says, well, we need to go ahead. Since they're working good for you, we'll write you another prescription. He said, no, I got plenty. But he said, no, we don't want you to run out. So he wrote two prescriptions for this kind of medicine, one that puts you to sleep and one for this one that wakes you up, and another prescription for the one for mood swings, and another one for something that does something else. And I was thinking, wow. I asked him a question. Sir, doc, I'm not a doctor. I'm an herbologist. I'm a holistic healer. Would you happen to know what my brother's blood type was? Mary got that from Georgette, a juice person that told me that 70% of Afro-Americans here in states don't even know what their blood type is. So if you A positive, you're not supposed to be eating chicken like that every other day. Salmonella will kill you. If you're O positive, like me, you can eat fish. But they say stay away from tilapia, eat red snapper, eat flounder, eat all these other kinds. But again, this is what we're talking about. Due diligence. Do your research. Don't just go off of somebody else's opinion. What works for you may not work for me. And then
that's
you start
right.
to look at certain scenarios. How can I be a twin brother born in the same house with you, ate the same food you ate every day, have the same father, we have the same DNA, and I watched my father say he loved my mom, but he gave her a black eye every other week when he got intoxicated. And then when I got older, my younger brother says, I'm never going to drink. I never touched alcohol in my life. He didn't even like the wine juice that they gave him communion service in church. And the other one turned out an alcoholic. Now, what's the difference between the two? You remember I said choices, life is nothing but a series of choices that one makes. The divine creator took us out of the spirit, out of eternity, and placed us in time. And what we do with this time we have determines on how we spend our eternity. It has a lot to do with the choices that we make. Be a positive person or be negative. Be dark, you don't exist, or be light. We are the truth and the light. My last one, Mary, before I drop again, is, Mary, I got it from you. I was saying it, but you enlightened me from a whole nother perspective. My grandmother's favorite song was This Little Light of Mine. Don't be jealous of somebody if they got an LED lighting and you running a 40 watt. You let your little light shine. If you let your little light shine and operate out of obedience, it will unconsciously allow somebody else to let their little light shine too. Smile, and the world will smile back at you. Two, frown, and the world will frown back at you. Two, to be or not to be, that is the question. Are you to be a blessing to people? The Hope Collection, the Hope Foundation, has no hidden agendas on hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you, and you. We help you so that you can help other people. It truly is a blessing to be a blessing. Are you to be a blessing?
So we're almost... Go ahead.
When I refer people to the Hope Collection, you know, it's a hit and miss situation. But you think about it. I tell them, I say, look, check it out thoroughly, and then you can decide if there's something that you might want to try with the Hope Collection. It's free to get started. So, you know, just take a little bit of time and come in on the radio shows and do some conference calls with people that are involved in the program, and just check it out thoroughly for your benefit. And if after all of that, and talk to people that are involved in it and how it's helped them. And I said, so then come, you know, then we'll talk some more, you know, and see if there's something you want to get started in. So it's just like anything in life. You got to check it out. You got to do it. And you got to be thorough in checking things out and get enough information so you can make a good decision. Base it on truth. So thank you, Mary, for having such a great program.
Thank you.
We appreciate you so much.
So we're almost out of time today. Bob, I'm going to call you right after the show. We got to coordinate a couple things. If that's okay, you got 5 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We're almost out of time for today. So join us next week when we talk about the gender identity crisis. I'm having issues speaking today. And join us tomorrow when we talk with Bob Oakley about what's going on and what's new with him. And, of course, on Friday is Len Cain, the Presidential Humanitarian Volunteer Award recipient. Hey, I found that one out yesterday. One of the original Boy Scouts to one of the original Top Gun. The man is groundbreaking in what he does in life. And join us tomorrow morning as we serve not only hope for lunch, but we serve hope for breakfast at 10 Eastern Time, 9 Central, is our juice dealer, Georgette Reynolds, and we talk about healthy lifestyles. Have a good day. Have a good night. See you back here tomorrow morning. Bye for now.
God bless you and your family, Mary.
Thank you.
And country boy, God bless you and your family.